Hello, my name's Anna. And for tonight's story, I'll be reading Charles Perrault's beloved fairy tale, Cinderella. Together, we'll be travelling to a magical, faraway place, full of fairy godmothers and happily ever afters. But before we begin, let's take a moment to relax and get comfortable. Snuggle up under the covers, and when you're ready, close your eyes. Now that you're all settled in, let's start our story. Once upon a time, there was a gentleman who married, for his second wife, the proudest and most snobbish woman that was ever seen. She had, by a former husband, two daughters of her own, who were indeed exactly like her in all things. He had likewise, by another wife, a young daughter, but of unparalleled goodness and sweetness of temper, which she took from her mother, who was the best creature in the world. No sooner were the ceremonies of the wedding over, but the mother-in-law began to show herself in her true colours. She could not bear the good qualities of this pretty girl, because they made her own daughters appear all the more unpleasant. She employed her in the meanest work of the house. She did the dishes, cleaned the tables, and even scrubbed the floors. She stayed in a dirty attic upon a wretched straw bed, while her sisters lay in fine rooms upon beds of the very newest fashion, and where they had mirrors so large that they might see themselves at their full length, from head to foot. The poor girl bore all patiently, and dared not tell her father, who would have sent her off, for his wife controlled him entirely. When she had done her work, she used to go into the chimney corner and sit down among cinders and ashes, which made her commonly be called Cinder Wench. But the youngest, who was not so rude and uncivil as the eldest, called her Cinderella. However, Cinderella, notwithstanding her ugly apparel, was 100 times more beautiful than her sisters, though they were always dressed very richly. It happened that the king's son gave a ball and invited all persons of fashion to it, including our young misses. They were delighted at this invitation and wonderfully busy in choosing their gowns for the evening. This was troubling for Cinderella, for it was she who ironed her sister's linen and creased their ruffles. They talked all day long of nothing but how they should be dressed. "For my part," said the eldest, "I will wear my red velvet suit with French trimming." "And I," said the youngest, "shall put on my gold-flowered gown and my diamonded top, which is far from being the most ordinary one in the world." They sent for the best help they could get to style their hair and put on their lavish makeup. Cinderella was called in to assist, which they were very willing for her to do. As she was helping them, they said to her, "Cinderella, would you not be glad to go to the ball?" She sighed and said, "I know you're kidding, but I could not go looking as I am now." "You're right," they replied. "It would make the people laugh to see a cinder wench at a ball." Anyone but Cinderella would have intentionally messed up their hair and gowns. But she was so very good and dressed them perfectly well. At last the happy day came. They went to court, and Cinderella followed them with her eyes as long as she could. And when she had lost sight of them, she began to cry. Her godmother, who saw her all in tears, asked her what was the matter.
I wish I could...
She was not able to speak the rest, being interrupted by her tears and sobbing. This godmother of hers, who was a fairy, said to her, "You wish you could go to the ball, yes?"
"Yes," cried Cinderella with a great sigh.
"Well," said her godmother, "I will make it so that you can go." Then she took her into her room and said to her, "Run into the garden and bring me a pumpkin." Cinderella went immediately to gather the finest she could get and brought it to her godmother, not being able to imagine how this pumpkin could make her go to the ball. Her godmother scooped out all the inside of it, having left nothing but the rind. And when done, she struck it with her wand, and the pumpkin was instantly turned into a fine coach, gilded all over with gold. She then found 6 mice, giving each mouse, as it went outside, a little tap with her wand. The mouse was at that moment turned into a fine horse, which altogether made a very fine set of 6 horses. Being at a loss for a coachman, her godmother found another nearby rodent, and having touched him with her wand, he was turned into a fat, jolly coachman, who had the smartest eyes ever beheld. After that, she said to her, "Go again into the garden, and you will find 6 lizards behind the watering pot. Bring them to me." She had no sooner done so, but her godmother turned them into 6 footmen, who skipped up immediately behind the coach, with their uniforms all trimmed with gold and silver, and clung as close behind each other as if they had done nothing else their whole lives. The fairy then said to Cinderella, "Well, you see here a carriage fit to go to the ball with. Are you not pleased with it?" "Oh, yes," cried she. "But must I go there as I am, in these dirty rags?" Her godmother only just touched her with her wand, and at the same instant, her clothes were turned into cloth of gold and silver, all covered with jewels. This done, she gave her a pair of glass slippers, the prettiest in the whole world. Being completely transformed, she got up into her coach, but her godmother, above all things, commanded her not to stay till after midnight, telling her at the same time that if she stayed one moment longer, the coach would be a pumpkin again, her horses mice, and her coachman a rodent, her footmen lizards, and her clothes would become just as they were before. She promised her godmother she would not forget to leave the ball before midnight. And then away she went, barely able to contain her joy. The king's son, who was told that a great princess, whom nobody knew, had arrived, ran out to meet her. He gave her his hand as she stepped out of the coach and led her into the ball. There was immediately a profound silence as the crowd stopped dancing. And the violins ceased to play, as everyone marveled at the singular beauty of the unknown newcomer. Nothing was then heard but a confused noise of, "She looks so beautiful." The king's son escorted her to the most honourable seat, and afterwards took her out to dance with him. She danced so very gracefully that they all more and more admired her. A fine meal was served up, but the young prince didn't eat a bite, as he was so intently mesmerized by her beauty. She went and sat down by her sisters, being kind and friendly, which very much surprised them, for they did not know her. While Cinderella was amusing her sisters, she heard the clock strike 11 3/4, and she immediately made a curtsy and hasted away as fast as she could. When she got home, she ran to seek out her godmother and thanked her. She said she wished she might go to the ball the next day as well, since the king's son had invited her, as she was eagerly telling her godmother about her night at the ball. Her 2 sisters knocked at the door, which Cinderella ran and opened, rubbing her eyes and stretching herself as if she had just gotten out of bed.
"If you had been at the ball," said one of her sisters, "you would not be as tired. The finest princess was there, the most beautiful ever seen with mortal eyes."
Cinderella seemed very indifferent in the matter. Indeed, she asked them the name of that princess, but they told her they did not know it, and that the king's son was very uneasy on her account,
and would give all the world to know who she was. At this, Cinderella, smiling, replied, "She must then be very beautiful indeed. Could I see her? Perhaps you can lend me your yellow suit of clothes, which you wear every day."
Her stepsister scoffed.
"Lend my clothes to someone as filthy as you? I'm not a fool."
Cinderella expected well such answer, and was very glad of the refusal, for she would have been sadly put to it if her sister had lent her what she'd asked for jokingly. The next day, the two sisters were at the second night of the ball, and so was Cinderella, but dressed more magnificently than before. The king's son was always by her, and never ceased his compliments and kind speeches to her. Caught up in the moment, she forgot what her godmother had said. She counted the clock, striking 12, when she thought it to be no more than 11. She then rose up and fled, as nimble as a deer. The prince followed, but could not catch up. She left behind one of her glass slippers, which the prince took up most carefully. She got home quite out of breath, and in her dirty old clothes, having nothing left but one of the little slippers. The guards at the palace gate were asked if they had seen a princess go out, who said they had seen nobody go out but a young girl, very meanly dressed, and who had more the air of a poor country girl than royalty. When the two sisters returned from the ball, Cinderella asked them if they had had a good time and if the fine lady had been there. They told her yes, but that she hurried away immediately when it struck 12, and with so much speed that she dropped one of her little glass slippers, the prettiest in the world, which the king's son had taken up, that he had done nothing but look at her all the time at the ball, and that most certainly he was very much in love with the beautiful person who owned the glass slipper. What they said was very true, for a few days after, the king's son caused it to be proclaimed, by sound of trumpet, that he would marry her whose foot the slipper would perfectly fit. His staff began to try it on all the princesses, then the duchesses, and all the court, but didn't have any luck. It was brought to the two sisters, who did all they possibly could to thrust their foot into the slipper, but they could not make it fit. Cinderella, who saw all this and knew it was her slipper, said to them, laughing, "Let me see if it will fit me." Her sisters burst out laughing and began to make fun of her. The gentleman who was sent to try the slipper looked earnestly at Cinderella and, finding her very beautiful, said it was only fair that she should try, and that he had orders to let everyone try it on. He obliged Cinderella to sit down, and putting the slipper to her foot, he found it went on very easily, and fit as if it had been custom made for her. The astonishment her two sisters were in was excessively great, but still abundantly greater when Cinderella pulled out of her pocket the other slipper and put it on her foot. At that moment, in came her godmother, who, having touched with her wand Cinderella's clothes, made them richer and more magnificent than any of those she had before. And now her two sisters found her to be that fine, beautiful lady whom they had seen at the ball. They threw themselves at her feet to beg pardon all the ill treatment they had made her undergo. Cinderella took them up and, as she embraced them, cried that she forgave them with all her heart and desired them always to love her. She was taken to the young prince, dressed as she was. He thought her more charming than ever, and a few days later, married her. Cinderella, who was no less good than beautiful, gave her two sisters lodgings in the palace, and that very same day matched them with two great lords of the court. And, as with any great fairy tale, they all lived happily ever after.